By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Anybody ever feel like that? Just don't know where I'm going? Amen. Yes. Well, we're going to be talking about how to overcome that. Bible says that by faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign land. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Can I get an amen if you are looking forward to that promise in that city? Amen? By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Now, God made him a promise. Has God made you a promise? Has God spoken to your heart and says, I have a future for you? I have something for you that is in store that you can grab onto and pursue. I hope that you are pursuing that promise. The title of today's message is Living on a Promise. Abraham was living on a promise. We see some of these old folks in the Bible living on a promise. All right, I got to find out where I was. All right, here we go. For he was looking forward to the city whose foundation, whose architect, builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he's past age, oh, I read that, didn't I? And so from this one man, verse 12, And as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Seashore. Kind of like Balthazar. Descendants all over the place. Man, just coming out of the woodwork. All these people were still living by faith when they died. And they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country. They were longing for a heavenly country. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, you call us to great and wonderful and mighty works, Lord. You call us to things that are bigger than we are, Lord. And sometimes we see the challenges that beset us, Lord, and we shrink away. Sometimes we see the lure of the world, Lord, and we are drawn off track. And Lord, sometimes we are just crushed in our spirit, Lord, and we do not see how your promise can come through us, Lord. And Lord, today we grab on in faith, Lord, to the promises that you give us, to the call, Lord, that you place upon our hearts and our lives. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen, 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 amen. Well, it was 12 years ago that Lisa and I, amazingly, that's why I'm talking about it today. Yes. It is our 12-year anniversary today. And yesterday. What? Our marriage? It's our anniversary of coming to this church. All right?
Are you there?
Yes, okay. And I asked Lisa to not interrupt me while I'm preaching. It gets me confused, okay? But I asked her to come up and share because we were called. Lisa, you're coming up here right now. We're called to this church, and she has a testimony. I've shared my testimony of how I was called, and God called her independent of me to this place.
Mm-hmm. All right, I need these glasses. Up. I'm going to read.
There you go.
Okay. Well, when Pastor Bob and I were in Sacramento, and I lived, we had been in Mexico for a time, and we'd gotten back up to Sacramento. That's where we met. That's where my sister and my niece and my nephews were, and that I just love. And so happy that God brought us back there. I only have one sister. We're really close. So when we got this call to come down here, you know, we go, okay. So he comes down, and I'll be honest.
It wasn't really okay. No,
well, you know, it was like, okay to come.
God's not calling us to San Diego. No way.
And my sweet husband won't interrupt me, but no. we came down, and it was no way once I got here. Because, you know, we're kind of like, well, and you know what? There's graffiti on the houses. We go to the parsonage where we would live, and there's bars on the windows and, you know, great gates. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to live here. You know, it was a little scary to me. And not that we lived in anywhere ritzy or anything, but I lived a mile from my sister. And my niece and my babies were like 2 and 4 at the time. And I just was like, I wanted to be up by my sister. I was raised by my cousins. That's what I wanted. Bob was in ministry there. And so we came down, and I was just completely freaking out. I was. And I kept going to the Lord, you know, and I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to go. I did not want to come here. I'll be totally honest. I just did not want to. And so different things would happen. And a month after Pastor Bob came and preached for the first time, we came back. And they were supposed to vote on us that week. Well, Gene will attest to this. And Gene and Jimmy, it was a, like, maybe 12 senior white senior citizens. Did I say that
very
right?
Senior, like very senior, 85 like, you know, average age.
And that was not what would kept me, but I just like, oh. But I remember the pastor's wife said, oh, honey, they're not going to vote you in. Don't worry about it because, you know, they just, you know, we're just
wasn't
not what,
worry
what
about
they
it.
Were
don't
looking about.
Bad.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Yeah, not don't worry about it. So inside I'm going, yes. Well, I have to tell you. But I was just like, you know, Lord, I can't do it. I don't want it. And it was about midnight at one night, and I just have Matthew 10 running through my mind. And I don't know what that is. So I had to get up out of bed. And I started reading it, and I'm thinking, oh, God's going to give me some great warm and fuzzy verse. You know, I'm doing this great thing for God, and he's just going to really bless me. And I start reading it, and it's like all just, I didn't even get it. But when I got to 37, it says, anyone who loves his father or mother, and I had to put sister in the margin, this is a newer Bible, but more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And if anyone does not take up his cross and follow me, he's not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And I was like, I don't know if you've ever been brought low before God, where you feel like a speck and you say, God, forgive me. Who am I to say what I'm going to do? God is in control. If I'm going to love him, if I'm going to serve him, I need to be obedient to him. And it was very hard, and I was very sad. And when we left, I cried. All along the way, I cried because I didn't want to come. And there's been times when I first came, I was just really lonely, and it wasn't fun. And you know what? God doesn't always call us to that. Like I said, I was looking for a warm, fuzzy, yay, you're so great, and I'm going to bless you 100 times over. And God said, if you don't do what I want you to do, Lisa, you're not worthy of me. Are you going to serve me, or are you going to serve you? I'm like, whew. It puts things in perspective, you guys. And so we came, and I will say, you know, I tell my sister this sometimes, too. My sister still lives in the same house, you know, and up there, and our kids have grown up, and we're close. But you know what? I have had a peace all these years. Because I know where God wants me. And it's one thing to be where you want to be. And it's one thing to, I'm sorry, I haven't looked at you guys at all. Sorry. That it's another thing to know you're where God wants you to be. Because it gets you through the hard times. There's hard times. There's times when it's, ugh, okay, I'm done, you guys. I'm done, honey. But you know what? When you know that that's where God wants you. There's amazing peace that can be in your life that is awesome. It's really awesome. So that's my testimony for being here.
Amen. A little round of applause. Yes. I thought you might enjoy that more than just hearing from me. Pressing on to the prize. We talk about pressing on to the prize. We talk about going through hard things. And yeah, you know what? The call of God. God called Abraham to hard things. God does not call you to easy things. You are already doing easy things. You're already pursuing your comfort and peace and joy and happiness. It's like, yes, I want the happiness call. God, call me to my happiness. That is generally not something that you are going to struggle with, and it's not something that God's going to call you to. Now, this book is written to people who were struggling. It is titled, the series is called Pressing On to the Prize. And he writes this letter, he writes this book of Hebrews to a church with people that are faltering. He writes this to a group of people that have received the promise of God and are seeing the options that are around them and are turning away and are in danger of turning away. And he says to those people, let's remember those who've gone on before us. Let us remember those who have pressed on, who have been guided by God throughout their lives. And last week, we took a look at three men. We took a look at Abel, we took a look at Enoch, and we took a look at Noah. Three men who heard from God and whose lives were radically transformed because of the promise of God. Have you heard from God? The way Lisa heard from God. I could have shared with you, and I don't know, I can't remember what I got lined up. As far as, I think I've scratched out a lot of when I have heard from God. But I've shared when I have heard from God. When you hear from God, it will transform your life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Abraham was a man of faith, called a man of faith. He trusted God. He heard from God, and it transformed his life. We are going to take a look at and continue looking at these giants of the faith. The call of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm just going to read it for you. I'm not going to put it up on the screen for you. It says, the Lord said to Abram, God, as part of the call, gave him a brand new name. At this point, he was still called Abram, not changed to Abraham. He says, leave your country. Leave your people. God said that to Lisa and I. We left Sacramento before we moved to a house that was a mile away from her sister and moved to Mexico. You want to see weeping for my wife? Oh, man, they came in a bus, took all of her furniture away. She was crying that day, too. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. He says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless those who bless you. I will make your name great, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on the earth are going to be blessed through you. Now, is that a pretty radical promise? I'm going to make you into a great nation. Eddie, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Frank, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Saying, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'm going to give you a land as an inheritance. I'll take that. Lord has a promise for you. He says, I'll give you my blood to pay for your sins. I don't know if I really want it. I'll transform your life. I don't know. The one I've got looks pretty good. That's what the scripture that Lisa was talking about. Hey, if you love what you got more than what I'm offering, we're never going to make it work. Abraham was a picture of a man who pursued what he did not know and left what he did because of the promise of God. And he is called a man of faith. Abraham trusted God. Abraham accepted God's promises even though there was nothing to indicate that they were going to be fulfilled. Now, Abraham, as we read this, and you read through Genesis, he was not perfect. He messed up. And you do not have to be perfect to pursue the promise of God. Are you happy about that, Belteazar? Amen? You happy about that, Jeff? Amen. I'm happy about that too. Anybody here messed up that is happy about that? Yes. God is looking for people of faith, not people of perfection. Now, what was cool about Abraham was when he messed up, he got back on track and continued being guided by God. And my question for you today is, what are you being guided by? Where is your focus? Who are you following? Because Abraham and the other man we looked at last week and the fathers of the faith, they were living lives on a promise. And my question is, what are you living your life on today? Are we okay? You guys are a little bit quiet. Are you worried that I'm going to go long, or are you just worried that I'm going to go loud? All right, here we go. God called Abraham. Who said, go for it? Is that you, Frank? Oh, it's Charles. Okay, see, Charles on the back. He can say, yeah, go loud, because it gets filtered out by the time it gets back there. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, God called Abraham, and Abraham obeyed God. Abraham was called from what he knew to what he did not know. Now, our author is talking about a life of faith is moving from what you know to what you do not know. And you do it when you move into what you do not know because you have heard from God. It's called faith. Abraham was such a man. Our faith is on display in response to the voice of God, to the call of God. So, I'm looking back there. Julie Camacho, not always called Julie Camacho, called Julie Gassaway, went at 18 years old to work at an orphanage and was a house mom to 22. 22? Most of the time it was 24. I mean, you ladies in the back, I know you're sweating it. What do you got? How many kids you got? Two? You got two? You got three? One on the way? She had 24. 24 kids she was caring for. How many of you moms raised 24 kids at one time? Not too many. How many were in diapers most at one time? Five in diapers at one time. How's that for joy? Can I get a witness on that? Now, when God calls, right, you're going to follow him to what you do not know, or are you going to continue pursuing your own plan for your life? Now, most of us have found we go with our plan, we mess it up. God calls you. Are you ready to move? Bible says that Abraham moved even as he was hearing the word of God. Lisa and I were called. Spent 3 years down the same place that Julie was at. Called to go to Mexico. Lisa was crying the whole way. God will call you, sometimes to a land you don't know, sometimes to a situation that you do not understand. Aaron has said, I got all them congas up here, and he goes, you know what, Pastor Bob talked to me about playing the drums one day. I never played the drums before. Now he's just totally blessed. He's got a whole room full of drums in his house. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. God called him to something he did not know. See, Sandra and Timothy sitting up here singing. Timothy, called by God 20 years ago, got off track in the process of getting back on track. Amen? Sandra called, kicking and screaming all along the way. I can't do that. I can't do that. She started working with the food. I can't do that. Started being in charge of the kitchen. I can't do that. Started coming up here to sing. I can't do that. When God calls you something, guess what? You can do that. Can I get a witness on that? You know what else she can't do? She can't teach youth, but Wednesday nights, you know, every day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, she's been going with them youth up to Future Quest. She says, I can't do it, but she is learning a life of faith that when God calls you to do something, you can do it. Amen? Amen. Come on now, give me a better witness on that. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Yes, God calls you, you can get it done. Praise the Lord. Faith has a price, though. Price for Sandra is going to be doing what God wants to get done Wednesday, Thursday, Friday afternoon. I don't know what God is going to call you to, but it's not probably going to be comfortable because you're already doing comfortable. God's going to call you to sacrifice. God is going to call you. See, for Sandra to answer the call of God, she has to make a sacrifice. Her and Timothy and Larry and the rest of the worship team, they get here at 9 a.m. You know who else gets here at 9 a.m.? Well, Gene gets here at 9 a.m. Jared gets here at 9 a.m. He's the sound man. You're going to answer the call of God. It's going to require a sacrifice. Abraham sacrificed his whole life. Packed up everything he had, got on the road, and started following the Lord. Faith has a price. He says, by faith, he made his home in the promised land. He says, oh, I'm going to the promise. And he lived like a stranger. He lived like a visitor. Says he lived in tents, as did Isaac, his son, and Jacob, his grandson. Two generations still haven't moved in. Still moving from place to place like a visitor, like a stranger in the land. He was looking forward to something better. Now, how many of you guys know that something better is on the way? Amen? See, some of us put all our time making what we got so good. And it gets so good, and God says, I want you to sacrifice all that stuff. I want you to surrender all that. No way. Had a friend, Sal. He got saved about the same time I did. He had a Plymouth Fiero. I know, it's a piece of junk. But back then, it was before they knew it was junk. And he would polish that thing every day. He worshiped that thing. I said, Sal, give that car away. No way. God wants me to have this car. I don't know what happened to Sal, but he took a left-hand turn, man. He stopped serving God 20 years ago. Maybe he's back on track like Timothy, but I have no inclination in my soul if that is true. God will call you to make a sacrifice. God will call you to leave what you know. Abraham lived in tents. They weren't putting down roots. And they were looking for a city of God. You read, Yuseli, did you get to the end of that book, talk about heaven? They're working on Kingdom of God. And Revelation chapter 21, 22 talk about the city that comes down from heaven. The New Jerusalem. Streets of gold. City gates made out of a giant pearl. Now I'm telling you, folks, I don't know what you got down here. But I doubt it is going to compare to streets of gold. Amen? So what is guiding you? What is most important to you? Where are your values at? All right. Holding on when things get tough. Have you found out yet that things are going to get tough? Amen? Can you imagine, ladies, how tough it would be to have 5 children in diapers and 24 children total? Can you imagine? That's tough. Lisa used to weep sometimes when we were at the orphanage. And she'd say, it's so hard. And I would say, just think how hard it's going to be when we get to the place that God is preparing us for. And that is here. And you guys are hard. Yes.
And wonderful.
Sometimes the promise gets a little dim. It can get a little, it can seem like it's a far way away. He says, by faith, Abraham, though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful. Abraham considered God faithful and made him a promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now, if you're going to have a whole nation come as descendants, that means you're going to have a child. Amen? And I'll tell you what, Abraham's getting old and Sarah's barren and they are looking and saying, I don't see how this promise is going to come about. That promise is looking a little dim. I'm not seeing that coming around. We need to have a kid. And sometimes when the promise looks a little dim, we can just jump in and try to help God out. Has anybody tried to do that? You know, it's like, God, I know you got this promise working for me, but it's not working, so I'm just going to help you out. Am I the only one who's ever tried to help out God? Timothy's helped out God. Oh, yeah. Derailed life, right? Amen. You say, oh, God, you know, you don't really understand my life. Let me jump in here and let me try to do a little thing. Well, Sarah did that. Sarah said, obviously, we need to have a child. Let me hook you up, Abraham, with my handmaiden. Let me hook you up with my maid, and you can have a child with her and Abraham being a man. Okay, if that's what you want, hon. Men, just say no. Just say no. Women, if you're going to give your man another woman, you come and check with me or Miss Lisa, and we'll work that out for you. Okay? Did not work out because the offspring's name was Ishmael, And it says that Ishmael was a wild man. And that he became the father of 12 nations. And those 12 nations were at war with one another. And to this day, they are at war with one another. They followed the Arab nations. And they were at war with each other and at war with the offspring of the child of promise. And you see all those Arabs hating who? The Israelites, the children of Israel. See, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had two kids, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And we have the nation of Israel beset by enemies today. Why? Because Sarah thought she would help out God. God doesn't need your help, folks. Can I get a witness on that? But see, when the promise gets dim, we can get impatient. We think, God, really don't understand what's going on in my life. See, we always want stuff big. And God doesn't always give big. See, Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Abraham died and never saw the offspring of Jacob. 12 tribes. Went into Egypt. Went into slavery for 400 years.
Somebody say, that's not the plan for God for my life.
Yeah. And they came out of Egypt a nation 2 to 3 million strong. Sometimes the promise looks dim, but the promiser always looks bright. Amen? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And my question today is, what are you hoping for? Where is your surety? Where is your certainty? Because your faith is going to be tested. Have you found that to be true? Yeah, God's going to let you go through some challenges so that you can be strong. God doesn't want some weak. I'll tell you what. Look at that. Not everybody can see you. Look at this. Glenn's wife over there holding that little baby. What's your baby's name? Ashley. And if she holds Ashley like that for the rest of Ashley's life, Ashley won't be able to walk in her room. You say, Mama, carry me, carry me, carry me. How many Christians you know just saying, God, carry me, carry me, carry me? He says, no, man, you're going to fall down, and then you're going to learn how to get up, and you're going to learn how to walk, and you're going to learn how to run, and you're going to learn how to overcome challenges. Why? Because I want you to be more than victorious. He wants you to know victory, and the only way you're going to know victory is going through battles. And some of you are going through battles right now. And the Lord says, don't ask me to take you out of this battle. Ask me for some power to get through that battle. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned, believed that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Saying, what is this? What are you talking about? Well, let me give you the scripture. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2 says, God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac. I don't care about the other one. Take your son of promise, the one whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I'm going to tell you about. God said, I want you to take your son and I want you to kill him on an altar as a sacrifice to me. And people will tell you that God was just joking. But you know what? Because God doesn't do sacrifice like that. But I'll tell you what. If it was a joke, Abraham was not in on it. Because he took his son. He didn't wait around. He took him immediately. He said, we're going up to Mount Moriah. We're going to take a little trip. And they went up to Mount Moriah. And Isaac, knowing about sacrifice, says, hey, Dad, I see the fire. I see the wood. I see all this stuff. Where's the sacrifice, Dad? And the answer was, on the mountain of the Lord, the Lord will provide your sacrifice. It will be provided. And he went up there and he tied his son. And I mean, Abraham's like 115 and Isaac is maybe like 15. Maybe a 6'1", like my son. My son's only 14. I got to think that if I started tying up my son Joe, that he might be struggling a little bit. Can I get a witness on that? And I don't know what that looked like that day, but I think Isaac said, I'm trusting God too. And that he laid down, and his father, Abraham, trusted God so much that he could take a knife and be ready to plunge it into his son's heart, saying, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what you're going to do here, God. But I have absolute faith and trust in you that you are going to work it out. And that my offspring is going to be reckoned through this young boy. And that you've got some miracle in store. And I'm trusting you on this. Can you imagine? Julie Camacho cannot imagine. She's looking back there like, what? Verse 12 says, as he's ready to plunge his heart. I mean, it's not like he's holding back. He's ready to go. And he says, angel says, do not lay a hand on the boy. Man, do you think he wanted to hear that, folks? Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And it says, look, and right above him, this is something he didn't see before. There's a ram caught by the horns in the thicket. He says, let's go get the ram, son. And he sacrificed that ram to the Lord. Transforming situation in Abraham's life and in Isaac's life. Amen? Amen? You say, I can't do that. I don't understand how Abraham could do that. Abraham had met with God. And you say, when? Abraham had met with God when he left his father's country. When he left his father's household. And 600 miles he traveled to the promised land. Meeting God all along the way. Abraham made a mistake, got over to Egypt, said there's famine, we're going to go to Egypt, got hooked up with the Pharaoh and all messed up, and God miraculously came in and rescued him from Pharaoh. All along the way, Abraham was meeting God and knowing God, being guided by God. Abraham met God when he rescued Lot from being taken by the kings that had taken Sodom and Gomorrah. With 318 guys, went and got them. Miraculously. Miraculously, his enemies turned over to him. He met God. Miraculously, he met God when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed and fire rained down from heaven. He says, I see your might. I see your power. And on the way up to Mount Moriah, I got to think that he was really close to God the whole way. Because if I was heading up Mount Moriah with my son Joe, I'd be talking with God the whole way. Amen? Yeah, you might not be there today. But my question is, are you climbing anything today? Are you doing anything that causes you to lean upon the Lord? When Lisa left her sister, she had to lean upon the Lord. And guess what? Things have gotten harder as time has gone on. And if she had not leaned on the Lord when she left her sister, she would not be able to lean upon the Lord when the challenges come to face today. Amen? We have in church? All right, third point. Living the life of faith. Living the life of faith. All these people, now I jumped from verse 12 to verse 16, and in between those, when verse 16, we talked about the sacrifice of Isaac. We're going to go back, and there's kind of a summary statement in there I wanted to end with today. All these people were still living. He's talking Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. All these people were still living by faith when they died. You know, you're going to die. Amen? You know, what are you going to try and accomplish in your life? What are you going to leave behind and where are you going to go? Where are you going to be in 100 years? Because I hope, Lisa said, I'm being in heaven. You going for that, Larry? Amen. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They were dim. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. People of faith are faithful. People of faith are faithful. Abraham wasn't alone. All these people, all these fathers of the faith, many people who knew God, not just Abraham. Abel knew God. Noah knew God. I think Noah met God building that ark for 98 years, being mocked and ridiculed by all the people around him. 98 years, no rain. He was happy he had that ark when it started raining. Amen? There's a day that's coming, you're going to be happy that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. All these people knew the promises of God, the call of God, the voice of God that changed their lives. They lived their lives with a focus on the promise. They were living on a promise. What do you live on today? He says right here, any one of them could have turned back. I showed a picture of Timothy last week, all sucked up and skinny, drugged up. Says he weighs more now than he ever has in his whole life. Natty's feeding him. Any one of you could turn back. Abraham could have gone back to his father's household. Could have been swallowed up by Sodom and Gomorrah the way Lot was. But Abraham held on to the promise of God. All these we have looked at have held on to the promise of God. All these people were looking forward to something that is better than what we have right here. As you walk through these streets, I hear my wife talk about it all the time. She says, I am so tired of our culture. I'm so tired. I am so ready to go. And the Lord says he is looking for people that are looking for him. That as you move through this life, it's kind of like picking through garbage. I just want to be done. Don't love the garbage. Look for what happens in the promise, the city. The people of faith are the people of God. I'll end with this. Instead, he says, instead, all these people from getting lured to what is around them are longing for something better, a country, a heavenly country. And therefore, God is not ashamed of them. He's not ashamed to be called their God. God is looking for a people who are not comfortable with what they see. God is looking for a people that will be guided by him. Is that you today? Is that your focus? Is that your desire? Deuteronomy 28:9. The Lord will establish you as his holy people. Do you want to be established as God's people? Or you're just going, man, he's going long. Get me out of here. Jimmy's cooking you lunch. You'll be fine. He says, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he promised you on oath. If. Did you say if?
Yes.
You know, the Bible would be a whole lot easier book if there weren't any ifs in there. I mean, I love it. It says, he's going to establish you as his holy people as he's promised you on oath. Hallelujah. Stop. Period. No. If you keep his commands. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. There are those who do not. There are those who turn back. God saved the nation of Israel, 3 million people out of Egypt. Miraculously, 10 plagues, miraculously delivered from Pharaoh's army, miraculously delivered through the Red Sea. And they got into the desert and they said, man, we had so much food back in Egypt, we got to head back. When they ran into their enemies, man, we were never afraid when Pharaoh was around, we had to go back. And maybe that crack pipe is calling out your name. Maybe you just want to shoot up. Maybe it's the porn shop. Maybe it's a strip joint. I don't know what you are coming from. But it will call your name. Can I get a witness on that? That there's a call that comes back. It says, you can turn back. Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. I won't forget about you. The Lord says, I'm looking for people that are looking for better. There are those who would turn back. He says, for those of you who keep your eyes on me, I will not be ashamed of you. He says, I'll adopt you into my family. I'll call you my son. I'll call you my daughter. I'll invite you to be part of the feast in that city that's coming from the air. You can be people of the promise. You can join these people who had God as their guide. And as we end today, and I'm a hair long, my question for you is, what is your guide today? Is it your desire? Is it your comfort? Are you guided by greed? Lisa, you could come up and play for us. Or are you guided by the voice of God? Are you guided by a picture of a city that comes down from heaven? Are you guided by something that is bigger than yourself? What guides you today? Some of you are here today and you're in great tension. Because you're guided by all the wrong stuff, and the Lord is speaking to your heart and he's saying, you're in danger. You have activities in your life that are just shameful to me. I am ashamed to call you my child. And you're feeling bad. But if he's speaking that to your heart, then he's also speaking an offer. He's also speaking an opportunity. He says, if you would change, if you would follow me, if you would grab onto my promise for a new future for you, I'll save you. Amen. That's you today? Amen. That you are longing for something better? That the issues that you have grabbed onto in your life are no longer as attractive as they once were? Maybe you feel like Timothy, all sucked up by life, tired. And you come in here today and you want to live that life of tension anymore. Then, Lord, if you have a promise for me, I'll follow you. Maybe you're here today and that call of the world has just been coming at you all week.
Lord, strengthen people.
Then you can come back. And you've been struggling with the past, struggling with the issues of the past, struggling with patterns of the past. And today the Lord says, don't turn around on me. I still have that promise. It might be dim to you today, but I have a promise of a great and wonderful future for you. And maybe today you are one of those that's climbing Mount Moriah. You are climbing up and you have challenges before you and you're saying, Lord, it's so steep. And he's going, yeah, it's steep. And it's going to get steeper. Girls, can you just sit down, please? Right there, right quick. Guys, if you walk in late, don't sit in the front row. It's so steep, Lord. And you're saying, he says, I got a power pack for you. Mike, when he's working, where you at, Mike? He likes those energy drinks. And maybe you're climbing with the Lord today. And he's going, I got a Holy Ghost spiritual drink for you. I've got a power boost for you to get you to the top. I don't know where you're at today, but the Lord does. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, you are mighty in this place. And Lord, you're speaking to people's hearts this morning,
yes.
Calling them to something that is bigger. Bigger than what they have, bigger than they know.